Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Today I want to continue with the second in a series of messages around our theme for the year of wisdom. Last week we looked at wisdom with finances and I shared some practical things from the book of Proverbs as to how we can get more wisdom in the area of finances so that we can make better and wiser choices with our money. The Bible says in Proverbs 3 verse 14, "For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She offers you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left. She will guide you down delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly." You know, the Bible is very clear that the more wisdom we get, the happier we are, the more satisfied we are in life, and the more blessing and favor that comes our way. Today I want to speak to you on something that is a concern for many people at the moment, particularly since the start of the COVID season, and it's the area of our work. You know, work is something given to us by God, not as a curse, but actually as a blessing and as part of His purpose for humanity. We see even in the Garden of Eden, before sin came into the world, that God already gave Adam work to do with responsibility. You know, just in case you thought that work was something the devil created to make people miserable. But in order for our work to work well, we need to be growing in wisdom so that we can practically apply it to the work we do. That way, God can be glorified, our lives can move forward. And fortunately for us, the Bible is full of wisdom regarding the area of work. And so I've titled today's message, Wisdom in the Workplace. I want us to look at a passage of scripture in Proverbs 31 that speaks of a working woman. She's a woman who's productive and influential. She's a blessing to those around her. And whether you're self-employed or even if you work for someone else, I really believe that there's great wisdom and practical guidance for us from this passage. Proverbs 31 from verse 10 says, "Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She's far more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life." Verse 13, "She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She's like a merchant's ship bringing her food from afar." Verse 15, "She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect a field and buys it, and with her earnings, she plants a vineyard." Verse 17, "She's energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She's clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness." You know, there's some great wisdom and insight here that we can learn from and then apply it to our work. So let's have a look at a few thoughts today regarding wisdom in the workplace. Number one is this: be honest and trustworthy. You know, verse 10 says of this woman that she's virtuous. Verse 11 says that she can be trusted. Unfortunately, in many businesses and workplaces, honesty and trustworthiness are things that are severely lacking. But, you know, I believe that if we desire God's blessing on our workplaces, well, we need to be people who can be trusted, and we need to be people who are honest in our work dealings. In Proverbs 11, verse 1 and 5, it says, "The Lord detests the use of dishonest scales, but He delights in accurate weights. The godly are directed by honesty, the wicked fall beneath their load of sin." You know, most of us can probably relate to an instance when we as the customer have perhaps been on the other end of someone else's dishonesty. Perhaps it was a retailer who has taken you for a ride and overcharged you, or maybe a contractor who has promised that they were on the way to your house only to pitch up 3 days later, or a salesman who guaranteed you the best service and quality just to get the sale, and then things went horribly wrong. You know, unfortunately, dishonesty has become a way of life in our country. But as Christians, we need to be different in how we interact with people, how we treat our customers, for those of you in business, and how we respond to those who oversee us. You know, even something like faking your CV and adding things to it that are either completely untrue or maybe even just partially true. But people do this all the time. In fact, I read just this week that at the end of 2019, President Cyril Ramaphosa actually signed what is called the New National Qualifications Framework Amendment Act. And that states that prospective students or job seekers could face up to 5 years in jail for misrepresenting their qualifications. You know, I think that many people have become desperate in this COVID season because business has been bad or work has been slow, and perhaps you've had to take a cut in your working hours and salary. And the temptation, of course, then is to always compromise your integrity and honesty to try get ahead. But something I've always tried to carry into my workplace is this thought: God cannot bless crooked business. Let me say that again. God cannot bless crooked business. That's true for whether you work for yourself or even if you work for someone else. And that also applies to whatever you do, whether it's the work of your choice or even if you are doing what you need to do in this season to get by. Being honest and trustworthy at work matters to God, and it must matter to us. In Colossians 3 verse 23, the Bible says, "In all the work you are doing, work the best you can. Work as if you were doing it for the Lord, not for people." Although we work for people, never forget we firstly work for the Lord. And I think if we remain mindful of that, I think it'll help us to remain honest and trustworthy in all our work dealings. Joseph in the Old Testament is a great example of someone who worked with honesty and was trustworthy. Listen, even when those he worked for did not respond the same way to him. But because he gave himself to the Lord first in the work he did, and he remained honest in all of his dealings, the Bible actually says the following of Joseph in Genesis 39 verse 23. It says, "The Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did." Pastor Andre's new book, The Power of Intentional Living, has got a great chapter on the subject of work, and I'd encourage you to get the book if you haven't got it. And in speaking of Joseph, Pastor Andre writes this. He says, "He was not lucky to have God with him. God was with Joseph because he stayed with God. If we are going to live intentional lives, then we must take God to work with us daily." Friend, if you want the Lord to lead you and guide you and give you the wisdom for the work you do that you need, well, make sure you act with integrity and be honest. Be someone who is trustworthy, even if you are the only person in your office who is. God will be with you in your workplace if you represent Him well by the way you conduct yourself and by the way you work. A second thought is this, is find ways to be creative and innovative. Verse 13 says of this woman in Proverbs 31 that she finds wool and flax and busily spins it. In other words, she doesn't wait for something to happen or for someone to bring her what she needs. She finds ways to get what she needs by being creative and innovative. You know, many people in their work environments only ever do what is given to them to do. They wait for someone to give them an instruction before being productive. But the truth is that God has put creativity inside all of us. The Bible tells us that we are created in His image, we are made in His likeness, and therefore we have His DNA on the inside of us. And so that means we can all contribute creatively to our work environments and add value to the organizations we work for. And very often, don't forget, it's the people who add the most creative value that are also paid the most. So simply, if you want to get paid more, well, learn to be more creative and innovative. Don't just do what you're given to do. Now, of course, make sure you do that first, but add value by bringing something more to the table. Dave Ramsey is a very successful entrepreneur and businessman. He's also a devout Christian and regarded by many as America's trusted voice on money and business. He wrote a great book called Entree Leadership. And in the book, Dave Ramsey tells the story of a friend of his who was once a pizza delivery guy, but because of this young guy's willingness to be innovative and creative, the guy managed to significantly increase his tips. And I want to read you a passage from the book regarding this guy. He says, anyone can walk up to the door and hand someone a pizza. But John, that's his friend, was not content with just doing the basic process because his best money came from his tips. So he began experimenting with several things that caused his tips to increase. He built a spreadsheet so he could graph the results of each of his ideas. First, he found that if he left with more than 3 deliveries in his car at a time, by the time he got to the 4th one, he was running late and the pizza was cold. 2 deliveries was inefficient and 4 was too many. He discovered that after ringing the doorbell, he needed to take at least 3 steps back so the person answering the door was not intimidated by his heightened presence. He also found that when he could, he should park his car in sight of the room where the TV likely was so that someone would see him arrive and announce throughout the house, "Pizza is here." After parking where people could see him in advance, he found he should jog slightly as he went to the door, showing that he cared. He tried whistling while he ran and while he waited for the door to be opened, and he even tracked whether one tune he whistled was better than another. He became very intentional about smiling and reminding people that the pizza was piping hot and delicious. John noticed that a large percentage of the time a dog greeted him with a family member ready to pay, and being a dog lover, he realized that it helped his tips if he would pet the family dog and make conversation about it. And that's when he had his big breakthrough. He went to the hardware store and bought an apron that tied around the front with 2 pockets in it. He then put dog biscuits in the apron so he could give Fido a treat right in front of Fido's master. So your pizza delivery guy parks so everyone can see him coming. He jumps out of the car, jogging with energy to the front door, whistles and smiles, steps back until the door is opened, gives your dog a treat, and hands you a piping hot pizza as he reminds you verbally that it's hot and delicious. If you don't tip this guy lavishly, you are a troll. Isn't that a great story of someone doing a job that most would find very menial and even boring? But because of finding ways to be creative, he turned things around and significantly increased what he earned. This lockdown season has forced many people to find ways of doing their work and business differently to before, to how they've worked. And, you know, I think oftentimes our instinctive reaction to any change in our work environment is a negative one, because we get used to being in a certain work routine and rhythm, but sometimes change can be the very best thing for us as we are forced to think differently and respond with fresh ideas. You know, even as a church, well, we've never had to run online services before simply because we've never had to, but we had to very quickly find ways to be creative and innovative, because if we didn't, well, we would not have been able to do church well in this season. I want to encourage you to find ways to be creative and innovative, particularly if your normal work routine has been interrupted these last few months. Don't just wait for things to get back to normal, because the reality is things may never be normal again like they once were. But there's an opportunity for you to bring fresh ideas to your business or workplace and to think differently to how you did before. Steve Jobs, formerly of Apple, once said that innovation is the ability to see change as opportunity, not a threat. You know, I know things are different for many of you at your place of work at the moment, but can I encourage you, lean into God, draw near to Him, and ask Him to ignite the creativity that is within you, and you may be astounded what you can come up with. And in the years to come, well, you might actually even thank God for this weird season, because it forced you to think differently and to trust Him in ways that you haven't had to before, and to find creative and innovative ways to do your work and add value to your workplace. Number 3 is this: be prepared to do what others are not. Verse 15 says of this woman in Proverbs 31 that she gets up before dawn to prepare. That, by the way, is when most people are still fast asleep. I think one of the best ways to get ahead in business or at the place of your work is to be willing to do what others are not prepared to do. I think so often people take the approach to their work of doing the bare minimum and not a bit more. Or they try to see how much they can get away with not doing. But can I encourage you, that is a terrible way to go about your work. You know, other people only work hard when the boss or the owner is watching, and then they put in a little bit of extra effort. But we should always remember that God is watching us all day. He sees what we do, and He also sees what we don't do. In Matthew 5 verse 41, Jesus said, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. You know, in a work context, that verse would imply that the first mile is maybe what you're paid for, but the second mile is that which you do out of your own free will without having to be asked or forced. But people like these are becoming a rare breed because few are willing to do anything these days without being compensated for it. Napoleon Hill, the author, once said, start going the extra mile and opportunity will follow you. Rather than waiting for a lucky break or waiting for the perfect job or looking for someone to give you a promotion at your workplace, well, just start where you are by doing a little bit more than is required of you. You know, I remember years ago when I was probably about 10 years old, an uncle of mine told me a story that I've never ever forgotten. He grew up in England, and when he finished school, found it incredibly hard to get a job. The country was in a recession at the time, and unemployment numbers were very high, probably not too dissimilar from what we see in South Africa today. And so my uncle did something that was very different, something that most people wouldn't even consider. He went to a farmer and offered to work for him for 3 months without getting paid a cent. Well, the farmer agreed. I mean, why wouldn't he? So my uncle worked incredibly hard. He never complained. And for those 3 months, he gave his absolute best. And after that period, the farmer employed him because he realized that my uncle had become so valuable to him that he needed him to stay. The farmer then gave my uncle a job and back paid him for the work that he had already done. Why? Because he was willing to do what no one else was prepared to do. You know, about 2 years ago, I was chatting to a young guy. He must have been in his 20s after church one morning. I think it was the 10:45 service. And he was telling me how difficult it was to find work and that he tried many places, but no one would give him a job. So I thought, let me tell you the story about my uncle. So I told him and suggested to this guy that maybe he should go out and do the same, offer to work for someone for 3 months without pay and see if a door opens. Well, as I was telling the story, I could see this guy start going pale in the face. As, you know, the thought of working for no pay was simply something he was not prepared to do. He very quickly ended the conversation and told me he had to go now. And not surprisingly, I never ever saw him at church again. Sometimes you have to do what no one else is prepared to do. And if you are prepared to do what no one else is prepared to do, well, God will open doors of opportunity for you that won't come the way of others. Can I urge you today, make yourself indispensable to your employer. Work in a way that even if your company starts laying people off, that you are the last one to be considered. Remember this, when tough economic times come and people get laid off from work, it's not always those who've been there the longest who get to stay, but those who have made themselves indispensable to the organization because of the extra value they continue to add by always being willing to go the extra mile. Here's another thought today. I hope this is encouraging you. Work hard and give your best. It says of the woman in Proverbs 31 in verse 17, she's energetic and strong, a hard worker. Verse 27 says she suffers nothing from laziness. If you desire to make progress at your place of work or to move ahead in business, then you must have a hard work ethic. I'm very grateful that my dad instilled this into me from a young age, even though he wasn't a Christian until just before he died. But he understood the importance of working hard, and I'm very thankful he passed that down to me. You know, too many people don't want to work hard anymore, and yet they expect to be paid big salaries just for pitching up. Friend, life doesn't work like that. Hard work is a biblical principle, and a wise person recognizes that without it, you're never going to move ahead in the workplace. Author and salesman Zig Ziglar once profoundly said, you can't have a million-dollar dream with a minimum wage work ethic. I was very inspired recently from a book that I read called Up From Slavery by a man called Booker T. Washington. He was born in 1856 and tells his own story of how he grew up in slavery in the south of the United States, but determined from an early age that he would work hard no matter what he was asked to do or whatever the circumstances were. Well, despite many obstacles that he faced in life, as you can imagine, and many circumstances that were against him, he kept moving forward in life because he understood the value of hard work. He eventually went on to become a great educator, an inspiring author, and also an advisor to multiple presidents of the United States. Why? Simply because he wasn't scared of hard work. In his book, Booker T. Washington says, nothing ever comes to me that is worth having except as the result of hard work. I think many people feel trapped and almost enslaved in their work. They don't like what they do, but perhaps feel powerless to do anything about it because they've got bills to pay, they've got a family to feed. But again, the Bible gives great wisdom for our work. Proverbs 14:23 says that all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Proverbs 10:4 says lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands or productive, hardworking hands bring wealth. I think sometimes as a Christian, we can make excuses for being lazy and then we disguise it as being spiritual. So rather than doing the work, we say things like, oh, I'm praying about my work, or I'm bringing my work before the Lord, or I'm waiting for God to give me direction before doing any work. Now don't hear what I'm not saying. Should we pray about our work? Well, of course we should. Should we commit our work and our plans to God? Yes, we must. But don't stop working hard and don't stop giving your best while you're praying. Because sometimes the answer doesn't come immediately. And if all you're doing is sitting around doing nothing while you wait for God to answer, well, you might be waiting a very, very long time. I find the best way is to keep working hard, keep giving your best, and let God steer you if He needs to change your direction. I also believe that no Christian should ever be lazy. In fact, those words lazy and Christian should never be in the same sentence. We represent God in our workplaces and we need to represent Him well. The American industrialist Andrew Carnegie once said that the average person puts only 25% of his energy and ability into his work. The world takes its hat off to those who put in more than 50% of their capacity and stands on its head for those few and far between souls who devote 100%. Give your very best at work, even if you don't like your job. I know it's a lot easier to work hard if you enjoy your work, but the truth is that every person has elements of their job that they perhaps find, you know, tedious or uninspiring. The reality is also that there is no such thing as the perfect job. But when we work hard, it brings honor to God and it gets the recognition of those we work for. Never forget that it's God who promotes and brings increase. And when we work hard, if we give our best, we position ourselves for His favor and for His promotion. There's a great verse in Psalm 75 in the Living Bible. Verse 6 says that promotion and power come from nowhere on earth, but only from God. He promotes one and deposes another. Work hard, give your best, and then trust God for the rest. When we work with excellence, we will always get the attention of God because He is interested in the work we do. And I believe it brings Him great pleasure when we work hard and we work well. There's two great quotes that I love by men of similar names, both conveying the same truth. Firstly, Martin Luther, the great reformer, once said that the Christian shoemaker does his Christian duty not by putting little crosses on the shoes, but by making good shoes, because God is interested in good craftsmanship. Then Martin Luther King Jr., the American civil rights activist, said, if a man is called to be a street sweeper, He should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven composed music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived the great street sweeper who did his job well. The last thought today is this. Number 5, learn to enjoy your work. Ecclesiastes 5, 18 and 19, Solomon writes and he says, even so, I've noticed one thing at least that is good. It is good for people to eat, drink and enjoy their work under the sun during the short life that God has given them, and to accept their lot in life. To enjoy your work and accept your lot in life, this is indeed a gift from God. I think so many people don't enjoy what they do. And, you know, when you think that the thing we spend most of our time doing is our work, well, I suppose it's no wonder that so many people are miserable. But I believe that even if we're not in the perfect job, we can still learn to enjoy what we do while we trust God for something different or perhaps something better. But, you know, when you enjoy your work more, firstly, we see it as a gift from God. Solomon reminds us that work is not a curse or a ball and chain that we have to drag through life. No, work is God's gift to us to glorify Him, to release our potential, and to work out the talents and natural abilities He's put on the inside of us. And of course, our work, when it's done well, will also add great value to the lives of others. Then secondly, be thankful for your work. You know, I think many don't have work at the moment. So if you do have work, well, give thanks to God regularly, even if it's not the ideal job with the salary that you want. If you're unemployed, begin to give thanks in advance for the doors that God will open for you. And again, be willing to do what others are not prepared to do. And then thirdly, change your attitude towards your work. This will certainly help you enjoy your work more. Leo Tolstoy, the Russian writer, once said, if you're not enjoying your work, you should either change your attitude or change your job. You know, if changing your job is not an option for you in this season, well then make a decision to change the attitude that you bring with you into your workplace. You know, sometimes a new attitude can bring a fresh perspective to what you do, and it'll give you a new appreciation for the work you have. Also remember that what we do is less important than who we do it for. If you work as unto the Lord and you desire to honor Him through your work, I believe God will get you into the right work that is the right thing for you, where you can be productive, where you are satisfied and content, and you can also have influence. You know, it says of the Proverbs 31 woman in verse 25 that she laughs without fear of the future. You know, I believe our work is not something God wants us to worry about or to always be anxious about, even though the times we're in are not favorable for many people. But can I just encourage you again, be honest in your work dealings. Find ways to be creative and innovative. Be prepared to do what no one else is prepared to do. Work hard and give your best. Learn to enjoy your work and then trust God for that which is beyond your control. You know, I'd love to pray for you in a moment for your work today and commit your business or your work or whatever you find yourself busy doing at the moment to God. Let's pray for that. Father, in Jesus' name, I bring everyone before you today who's watching online, and I thank you that work is of you. Work is a blessing, not a curse. And I really just pray for people's work circumstances today, for those who are struggling, for those who've had to take a reduction in hours or a cut in salary. I pray you continue to provide. I pray you will bring increased work, help them to be productive. Give us a heart that is grateful for the work we have, and help us to be willing to do whatever it takes to move ahead in the area of our work, but always act with honesty and integrity. I pray also for those who are unemployed, Lord, that you would make something available for them in Jesus' name. We commit the area of our work and business to you. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.